afternoon. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, I was reminded a while ago that High State plays at 8 o'clock. I don't plan on keeping you long anyway. In verses 20 and 21, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. You know, it's sad that people are prone to believe just whatever they're told. And as God's people, you have a responsibility to know what the Word of God says. It's not the preacher's responsibility to find out what the Word of God says and then tell you. But you're also supposed to read the Word of God, study the Word of God. And those things that the preacher preaches, you are to go into the Word of God to find out if that's so. You read of a church in Thessalonica that did that very thing. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things be so. So, we are to put to test the words that are spoken by me.
Right.
You know, I don't have a problem with that. I find that those who err in the Word of God have a problem with that. I found in the past that there are men, if you tell them that you don't agree with what they say, and it appears to you that the Bible does not agree with what they say, that they get mad.
Right.
Well, if you correct me this evening, I promise you I'm not going to get mad. I won't get mad if anybody corrects me. If I say something wrong, you ought to. And you ought to know enough about the Word of God to be able to do that. Well, down through the years, I've seen churches that have stood for doctrine and the pastor leave or the pastor pass away or whatever reason, and all of a sudden the church is believing something else. What happened? Well, one thing, I don't believe they had a good understanding of the Word of God themselves. And again, it is your responsibility as a church to know enough about the Bible to know that when the preacher is wrong, that you understand that and able to know that. So we are to put to test, we are to examine those things that are preached behind pulpits and find out whether they be so or not. You are not commanded anywhere in the Bible to believe something just because someone says it's so. It doesn't matter who the man is. It doesn't matter how high you may esteem him or how long he's been around or what group he has associated with. You are to test those things that he preaches. Our text speaks of those who would prophesy. Of course, you shouldn't listen to any prophet in our day and time. The prophets were, in the first churches early on, called of God. But among them, there were those who were false prophets. So we can apply that to our day, even though we don't have prophets. There are those who are among us who may or not called of God. And we are to examine them and try them according to the Word of God. Now, some have made the error by trying people and proving them as far as tradition goes. Well, that's what our church has always believed. That's what our church has always practiced. Well, that's not a true test of whether it's truth or not. You know, some churches can be wrong about things for a short time, or maybe they have been wrong about things for a long time.
Right.
The only test that we have is this Bible.
Amen.
Now, if the Bible is going to be our rule of faith and practice, we need to make sure we've got the right Bible.
Amen.
Not just any Bible. I believe the preserved Word of God. I believe for you and I, the King James Bible is our very best. It is that which we ought to judge men by as English-speaking people. We ought to judge men according to this Bible.
Amen.
Not a Bible that's left out verses, not a Bible that has twisted verses around, but this Bible. And for any situation, any doctrine, any controversy, this Bible is good.
That's right.
Our text says, hold fast that which is good. That's this Bible. And any doctrine that is held or any doctrine that is believed will wind up in agreement with this Word of God. No matter whatever it is, it will wind up, wind back, and agree with the Word of God. So tradition is something that ought to be cast off as far as that which we use to judge. The book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us about tradition and how dangerous that is. Paul says, beware. That's a danger sign. Beware. You walk in somebody's yard and there's a sign there that says, beware, you better pay heed. Beware of a dog, or beware of a gun, or something. There's danger there. In this verse, there's danger, beware. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware of that. We see in our day and time where, people are beginning to change about some things. They're beginning to turn their backs on things. And I'll tell you right now, it's not the Word of God that led them down that path.
Right.
It's not. And if you bring some of these issues up, why, people get mad and throw a fit and tell you that you have no right to question them about anything. As a Baptist, you have right to question any man about anything that he preaches.
Right.
And if he gets mad, he's wrong. He's wrong for being mad. So beware. Some people depend on fables. Now we're entering the season of a big fable, aren't we? Somebody asked me today what I would do if Santa Claus came to my house. I said, well, if he gets up on my roof, he might get shot. That's a fable. Of course, I wasn't going to shoot him. It doesn't exist.
Right.
It's a fable. Yet there are men who will take the Word of God and try and convince you that celebrating the Mass is something that Christians ought to do.
Not if you go to the Bible.
Amen.
Not if you put it to the test. Not if you see where it came from, the Bible or from the world.
Amen.
Sorry. No. Let's go by tradition. Let's go by fables. Paul mentioned again about fables in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, but refuse. Don't accept. Don't get along there. Refuse. Now, I know every one of you, there are things that if I tried to convince you to do, you would refuse it. But refuse all of those things that don't pass the test.
Right.
Just refuse them. Say absolutely not. Under no circumstance. He says, refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Practice after the word of God, in other words. So I call unto all of those who handle the word of God in our ranks to be faithful to the word of God.
Amen.
Regardless. If you're going to say anything that's profitable, it'll be from the word of God.
Amen.
It'll be backed up from the word of God. In every case. Prove all things. Not just some things. All things in the Word of God. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it biblical? Is it unbiblical? Is it God glorifying or does it promote the flesh? What's the case? The Bible lets us know. Prove all things. Some will depend on their intelligence. In reasoning. Intelligence is mentioned one time in the Word of God. That's in Daniel 11 and verse 30. And that speaks of an age where intelligence is to be honored and revered more than God Himself. The Antichrist will come on the scene with great intelligence as far as mankind knows it, and the world will be deceived. Now, it's good to have an intelligent pastor. I'm not promoting that we ought to dumb down to preach the Word of God, and I'm not promoting that you ought to have an intelligent, unintelligent pastor and not an intelligent one. I'm not saying anything like that, but what I am saying is that if intelligence is the rule, if intelligence is what we're going by, then we've got the wrong standard. The standard is the Word of God for all of us, you see. And we have all this confusion today among the saints of God, which Bible and who do we believe and, you know, what church is right and which one's wrong. You got all this confusion out there and people simply aren't using the Bible as a test. You know, church must pass a Bible test, must it, to be a Bible church.
Right.
We've got to pass the PhD test. Practice history and doctrine. If they don't pass that, then, they're not a church. Go to the Bible. Is a man worthy to be followed? Should I be listening to what he says? Should he be my main teacher? You know, a lot of people are going after these TV preachers and wanting to take their advice over those whom God has called. I say beware. Beware. Get your preaching from the Bible. And make sure it's right. So the purpose of proving the man is to find out the truth. Find out whether those things be so. Those at Thessalonica said, well, now did he tell us what's the truth or not? I never heard that before. I never heard anybody say that before. Is that true? You need to be careful of new things.
Amen.
It's sad in our day and time that a lot of church members, some things are new to them because they never read. They've never gotten in the Word of God themselves and read it, and it's a new thing to them. But you ought to be learned enough in the Word of God to discern these things and know how to find out whether they be true or not. Men are not the standard of proof. Commentaries are not the standard of proof.
That's right.
Books that have been written by men are not the standard of proof.
Amen.
The Bible, and the Bible alone, is the standard. And we ought to be inquisitive enough to wonder whether these things are so. To leave the house of God and have the message of God on your mind long enough to get back to the house and see if they're so. Or even before then, while the man is preaching, turn to the Bible yourself and see if that's so.
Right.
Prove those things. Find out if they're true. In Proverbs 16:16, we see the importance of this mentioned. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding rather than be chosen, let me say that again, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Why trust your soul and your eternal reward? Why leave that in the hands of men?
Right.
No, we're leaving this world one of these days, and we're going to go to be with God, and we're going to be there forever, and there is a reward waiting there for us, and you ought to be concerned enough that you don't just take some man's word for things. But you study the Word of God.
Amen.
There are a lot of things that Baptist people do because the preacher said they ought to do it. Well, maybe the preacher's right and maybe he's wrong. And you can't just frivolously live your life thinking, well, I'm just going to take that man's word for it. Somebody stopped and asked me directions somewhere the other day. And they said it's Long Branch at the end of this road. Well, I thought it was. And I said, yes. Well, he'd already traveled a long ways. He told me where it came from. And he was going to go way. Long Branch was the next road down. He was miles from there. But I didn't think about that until he was already gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him. He believed me. And look at all the trouble that cost. Your soul, your eternity with God, how you will spend that depends upon the fact that you are willing to get into the Word of God and read it for yourself.
Amen.
There's a great deal at stake. How many have believed a man as far as how to be saved and just went on their way and followed after what he said and died and are spending an eternity in hell?
Mm-hmm.
Multiplied millions of them.
Right.
It's important.
Amen.
Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32 that the truth shall make you free. It'll make you free. It'll make you free as far as your soul is concerned. It'll make you free as far as your service is concerned. It'll make you free as far as your eternal state is concerned. Don't believe me? Look in the Word of God. Find out if that's true or not. That's true. I'm telling you it's true. But that's not enough, is it? Just for me to tell you it's true. A lot of preachers will say, oh, that's the truth. You can depend on that. You can believe that. Well, I'm saying you find out yourself whether that's true. You search the Scriptures and that'll lead you to the Lord's work. The church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Some people don't care to search that out. Again, they just take somebody's word for it. One church is just as good as another, and they go their merry way. Find it out. Searching the Scriptures will keep you from humanism.
Right.
You got the Bible and you got humanism. I know we got all these categories and we got all these names and all this, but it's spiritual or it's humanism.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth or it's a lie. And knowing the truth will keep you from that. Romans chapter 5 deals with that. In verse 24. What have I got here? There isn't a 24. See? Anybody else catch that? Did you catch that? That preacher said Romans 5:24. That's not a Romans 5:24. Now where are you going? Now what am I going? This question. It'll keep you from humanistic thoughts. It'll keep you from disobeying God. Worshiping in the flesh rather than in the spirit. So you have a responsibility to the truth, a responsibility to yourself. You have a responsibility to God. And you have a responsibility to this church. Collectively as a church, you have a responsibility to know the Word of God. You have a responsibility to believe it and also to exercise it as a member of this church. But you got to know the truth. That's kind of hard for a man to stand behind the pulpit and cover everything in a year's time. Everything that goes on, and all these subjects, and that we can preach on, and all this. You have a life to live daily. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in the Word of God, you're missing truth that you need. That you need to know. Well, the last part of that verse says to hold fast.
Amen.
Hold fast that which is good. That hold fast means is a word that means to grasp tightly. Just like you had one of your children. You were standing there at the edge of the Grand Canyon and your child was getting too close to the edge. You wouldn't say, huh? Just go over and look a little bit, get a little bit closer. And stick your head over there. No, you'd grab them. You'd pull them back. You'd hold them. Because of the importance. And so it is with the Word of God. We despise not prophesying. We hear the Word of God preached, and then we prove that ourselves with Bible study and prayer and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Then we hold fast that which is good. And if that call me and I made about a high stake, you can throw that away. You just throw it away. It didn't mean anything. That has no spiritual value whatsoever. Means nothing. But now what we've seen in the Word of God means everything. Hold it fast. Don't let it go. And you know, it's a whole lot easier if the whole church will hold things fast together. It's a lot easier. In numbers, we're united and we get strength from one another. Holding fast those things that we have seen, that we have been taught. From the Word of God. Well, how is it with you this evening? Have you found that to be true? Have you found that your own personal Bible study has been a great help to you? Have you found out that taking notes during the services so you can go home and go over those things to be of value to you? That's a good way to keep track of things. That's a good way to hold on to these things. And what was the preacher said? I can't remember. I don't remember what he said. You know. Well, it's kind of hard to put that to the test if you don't remember what it said. you know, those in Thessalonica were so interested in what was being said that they no doubt wrote those things down, and they talked about those things, and they kept them on their minds to where they could get to a place where they could search the Scriptures. And it says they did that daily. Have you believed the Word of God? Do you believe that the Word of God is the only standard that we have? Are you like many who believe that the Word of God is the most valuable possession that you have? You know, we lock things up in safes. Money, gold, jewelry, guns, and different things, and we think, oh, how valuable. We leave our Bibles right on the table. Nobody bothered them with it. Yet.
Right.
Yet. It may come a day that your Bible is illegal. And you may have to put that Bible in a safe place so that you don't lose it. Then we'd find out how valuable these Bibles are. Hold fast. Why seek the wisdom, fables of men when we have the Word of God? Why listen to them? Well, I can get some good out of anybody. Well, you get a whole lot of bad, too.
Right.
I'll tell you that right now. And I'll warn you this, that the bad rubs off. I've seen men follow after men who are not called of God, in my opinion, and it's led them to some bad places and some bad doctrine. There's a lot of, I mean, in our day and time, I remember when I first started going to Bible conferences, I remember seeing paper quarters all over the place, plugged in everywhere, so people could take them home and listen. Now you can get on your phone or computer or whatever, and you can listen to hundreds of sound messages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listen to that is my recommendation. Prove all things. Don't be afraid to prove all things. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to say, well, I don't believe you said that right. I don't believe that's what the Bible says. You know, don't be afraid. That's your responsibility. We're sheep. But we don't have to be dumb sheep, do we? We're sheep, but we don't have to be unconcerned sheep. We need to be knowledgeable sheep who know the right ways of the Lord. God help us to do that and have a concern as far as the Word of God is concerned. I thank you for your time.